All right, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning, if you would please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1. I hope you'll pardon me this morning. I've only got some chicken scratches down here. I'm going to try to follow them best I can, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 26. Verse number 26. Paul writing here, and he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." What a statement. I've never preached on that. God hath chosen things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That's a real statement. Then he said that, and the reason being that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get to this, but boy, if we can get a hold of that verse number 30, Christ is made unto us. He is our wisdom. Christ is made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification and redemption. All those things he has been made for us. Thank God. Amen. Then in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the morning hour. I certainly want to thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school time, the good singing. It's been precious to my heart this morning. Now I pray you'll take your word and, God, that you'll bless it to the hearts of people. Give us the liberty and power this morning to preach. May sinners be raised, Lord, from their dead estate into the living children of God. And Lord, may people that are sick find help and healing strength for their bodies. And we pray for those today that may be walking in deep valleys of despondence and despair, that you'd help them, strengthen them, bless them, help every home and every family, and even those listening by the way of radio. Give us grace and unction and power now to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, dear Brother Paul said here in verse number 5, writing to this Corinthian church, and he made the statement that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I want to try to preach to you a little while this morning on that thought, a faith that stands. There's some that claim to have faith that have fallen by the wayside. But there is a faith that rests in the power of God that will cause a man or a woman to stand. I want to preach on that a while. God will help me this morning. Let me say a few things very quickly about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was thought to be spiritual, but really they were probably the most carnal church that we find in the New Testament. And Paul spent a great deal of time in that church teaching them and preaching to them the Word of God. And yet there seemed to be some things that they just could not get a hold of. Well, they said in chapter 1, some of them said, well, they said, I'm of Paul. And others said, I'm of Apollos. And some said, I'm of Cephas. And others said that I'm of Christ. And Paul said that because of that, you have divided the church. There's divisions in the church. And in saying that, they're not showing really the wisdom of God, but they're living according to the wisdom of man. You know, and the Lord said there in verse 20 of chapter 1, no, I'm sorry, verse number 21, He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And so man, when he thought he made himself wise, really became a fool. When Adam took of that fruit and thought to himself that it would make him wise, he really became a fool. Certainly became a sinner and plunged the human race into depravity. But even thinking that he could hide his sin with fig leaves, Adam became a fool. And in the wisdom of man, that's what that woman said. She saw that tree was good to make one wise. But in that wisdom that she had, they became a fool, to be quite honest with you. And they sent the human race into depravity. Paul also said in chapter number 1, he said, the Jews that seek after a sign. They're looking for a sign. That's all they wanted. I mean, even the Pharisees said, show us a sign when these things will be. Even the Lord's own disciples in place in the Bible said, show us a sign. Tell us when these things will be. And the Jews were looking for a sign. But Paul said, those Greeks seek wisdom. And they just could not get a hold of the fact that salvation is through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That seemed too simple for that crowd. They thought surely that there was something to it more than that. Something that had to affect the intellect of man to make man wise. In fact, I think they were somewhat like the Syrian Naaman when the prophet told him to go dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And he thought in his heart, he said, is this all there is to it? He said, surely I thought that the man would come out and strike his heart or touch me in some place or have me to do something great that I might be cleansed from my leprosy. He just thought that dipping in that river was just not going to get the job done. I'm going to tell you something. There's people today that live with the idea that the cross is just not going to get the job done. It's foolish to them. People look at Calvary as being something foolish, thinking that a man giving his life on a cross could save a soul from hell. But what they don't realize is that it was more than just a man that gave his life there. It was God in flesh that died on Calvary that day that sinners might be saved by His marvelous grace. And to a lot of people, that is foolishness. And what Paul is doing here, he's trying to make a distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. And he's showing these people how that they must put their faith in God's wisdom and not in the wisdom of man. In all their ways, they must acknowledge Him, is what Paul is trying to say. And if their faith stands in the wisdom of man, they're certainly going to fall. But if their faith stands in the power of God, they're going to live. Not only live, but they're going to stand and walk with God. Amen. They're not going to fall. They're going to stand. There is a faith today that will stand. Now, I want to say something right there. We're seeing people all across America today. I'm talking about an independent, fundamental Baptist churches that are falling by the wayside. And I'm going to tell you why. They have put their faith in a set of little Bible facts, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and it has not got the job done. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you can repeat every little prayer you want to repeat, and it's not going to get you into heaven. Amen. You can be baptized with every tadpole in the state of Kentucky and know their social security number, but it is not going to get you into heaven. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to come to Calvary and be regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God. And God will give you that faith. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And that's not of ourselves. The Bible said it is the gift of God. Not a gift, but the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I want to thank you for that. Now, Paul here is trying to show these people and tell them how they can have a faith that will stand. Now, I'm telling you, the points I have are not very deep. Any grade school kid could get a hold of them. But I want to try to bring them out today. What kind of a faith will stand in the power of God? What kind of a faith is in the power of God? Well, I want to say, number one, it's a faith that will stand when it's received by declaration of God's testimony. Paul said there in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Amen. Paul said, I did not try to use any fancy words. I didn't try to use anything superior to you. I'd come to you knowing nothing but Christ and Him crucified, preaching to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus and giving you the testimony of Almighty God. Now, I want to say one thing about that in two different places in the Bible about God's testimony, and we'll get right on into that. I want to say that God's testimony, what God says about God, is sure. It is a sure thing. He said in Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure." Doing what, Brother Hall? Making wise the simple. I'm glad, thank God, that the simple can be made wise, but the wise in their eyes will become simple, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you that the testimony of the Lord is sure. There's no doubt about it. Buddy, what God said in that Bible, God said, He meant it. He put it in writing. He's given it to you and I, and it is a sure thing. There is not one jot nor one tittle from that Bible that will not be fulfilled and come to pass. I don't care what other people think about it. Amen. It's true. And by the way, we were not evolved. I didn't evolve from some monkey or a tadpole, or I didn't get here by the bang theory. I was created by God. I am God's crowning creation. He created man, His crowning creation in those 6 days. That's His wonderful name. Amen. A lot of people want to talk about being evolved and this and that. I saw something about there today that makes me puke. To think that a man could come from a tadpole or an amoeba. They got a lot of amoebas in Mexico, but I don't want them. Amen. I didn't come from one of them creatures. No, sir. God scooped up man out of the dust, not out of the mud, out of the dust of the earth, friend. That's how low we are. We're scooped up out of the dust of the earth. That's all. Amen. And God formed us and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. I'm just telling you that God's testimony. Paul said, I come declaring unto you the testimony of God, and that testimony that God gives about Himself is sure, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you, he goes one step further than that in Psalm chapter number 95 or 93, I believe it is. Psalm number 93 and verse 5. He said, thy testimonies, he didn't just say sure. He said, they're very sure. They're not sure, they're very sure. But you can take them to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that I've got a book, thank God, that is a rock that I can stand upon and believe in and trust in, and the God of that book will surely fulfill every promise. It's a sure thing. It's not just sure, it's very sure. Paul says, hey, I didn't come trying to talk to you about Paul. I didn't try to tell you about Cephas. I didn't try to tell you about Apollos. I come to tell you about Christ and Him crucified, the hope of the world. Amen. Now I'm telling you, we live in a society today that's looking for a preacher to get up with great oratory abilities and tell them some big new thing. You know what that reminds me of? Those on Mars Hill in Athens. They just want to hear some new thing. And preachers, they want something flowery. I mean, they want to show their wisdom. They want to show their knowledge. I mean, how smart I am. God, hey, God's not interested in our knowledge. God's interested in getting His knowledge over to us that we might be saved by the grace of Almighty God. God's testimony is very sure. If you want a faith to stand, it's going to have to be received through a declaration. He said, I declared unto you the testimony of God. Now, what did He say about the testimony of God? Well, He talked about Christ's suffering. In the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 11. And if you want to mark these down, you can. You don't have to turn there unless you just want to. But He talked about the sufferings of Christ. Amen. At verse 11, Peter said, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when He testified, there's that word, when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Thank God. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the testimony of God concerning the sufferings of His Son is a sure thing, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're so hard-hearted today. We can hear a preacher preach on how Christ suffered. I believe it was Brother Ballou stood up here and talked about the whipping post that He was on and how that He was marred, His visage was marred more than any other man. And how He suffered on Calvary for you and I. Hey, He suffered in His soul just simply being rejected by those He created. Oh, that is an amazing thing to me that the creature rejected the Creator, and yet the Creator still loved the creature enough to put Himself under a robe of flesh and die on Calvary that you and I might be saved. That's His wonderful name. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, Christ suffered like no other man's ever suffered. I know we get sick in our bodies, and it's painful, and it's problematic, but I don't believe any of us has ever suffered in a way that could compare with the sufferings of Christ. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. The Bible said when God saw the travail of His soul. Do you understand what that means? You ladies ought to know what that means more than anybody else. You went into labor and travailed in labor to bring a child into this world. That Bible said when God saw the travail of His soul, He was under a burden. He was under a pain. He was under a load. Not only in His body, but in His soul as well. And when God saw it, He was satisfied with it. Amen. That's right. Paul said, I didn't come to you with no excellency of speech. He said, I come to you with the testimonies of God, declaring them which are sure. He said, I told you about Christ's sufferings. Then he said, I told you about Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:15, I believe it is. That we found that in. I'll find it here in just a minute. I believe that's where it's at. He said it, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:15, he said, yea, talking about if Christ did not raise from the grave, he said, we're false witnesses of God. Because we have, here's the word, testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But he said the testimony of God says that He raised up Christ from the dead. Now get a hold of this. Here is the sure testimony of God and a faith that will help you to stand is the fact that Christ came into this world and suffered in your place and died in your place and went to a borrowed tomb and 3 days later, hallelujah, got up out of that grave. Thank God. in a perfect body just like you and I are going to have someday. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Boy, and people are worried to sick today about death and dying. A lot of people won't love God till it comes time. They want to be with Jesus till it comes time to die. Then all of a sudden they don't want to be with Him anymore. They want to go, but not on the next road. I wonder if we're ready to go with Him. Huh? He got up. Ladies and gentlemen, because He got up, the testimonies are sure. That assured you and I that we're going to get up. Paul, in chapter 15 of this very book, is putting up quite an argument with those Corinthians concerning the fact that Christ rose from the grave. Do you realize that's why Paul was sent to Rome to die? Because he preached Christ and the resurrection of the dead? We think that we ought to get up today and tell people something, you know, kind of a flyer, little story out of the Bible or something, and try to put all of our intellect into it, and we miss the boat and never just tell them the simple things about Christ, how that Christ suffered and went to the grave, and thank God 3 days later He rose from the grave. I'm telling you, He died in our place. He went to the grave in our place, and thank God He got up in our place and overcome our death and our hell and our grave that we ought to have. And by the way, woo, thank God He overcome our sin as well. Whoa, they're gone! Thank God, what sins are you talking about? They're not atoned for. They're not atoned for. They're gone, ladies and gentlemen. He put them away. That's what that book says. He took them away and He put them away. That's what the book says. That's right. And like Brother Blue said, he said he'd remember them no more. And if he don't remember them, what makes you and I think we can? That's right. And then he declared unto him of Christ's return. Revelation chapter number 22, I'll just read one verse there. It's so wonderful. Old Brother John here is writing. And the Lord speaks to him and said, write these words down in verse 20 of chapter 22, John. He said, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now that's the testimony of God, ladies and gentlemen, that His Son is coming back.
Yep. Yep.
This world is not looking for Him. And I hate to say it, but most Baptists are not looking for Him. But thank God, I know for a fact He's coming again. Hallelujah to God. There's coming a day when that door in heaven's going to open and Christ has come out of that door. Another of those wonderful words, come up hither, all of you that have made a covenant with Me by blood. I'm telling you, those of us that have entered into a covenant with Him by blood, we're going to be caught up into the clouds of glory with our Lord. Oh yes, He's coming back. Amen. It may be morning and it may be noon, it may be evening and it may be soon. I don't know when, but I know He's coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. And when He comes, He'll come and He will not tarry. Jesus is coming again. That is the sure testimonies of God. Plain and simple. Folks said, well, you're not telling us much today. I've told you the gospel. What more do you want? I've told you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And through that is salvation for your soul if you want it.
Amen.
If you want it. He's not going to force Himself upon you. If you want it, fine. If you don't, hey. He wants you to come to Him. He'll draw you with His goodness. What? Knoweth thee not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But I'm going to tell you, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the egg sucker drink. You can lead a whole lot of Baptists to the living water, but say some of them, you just can't make them drink. They ain't going to dip their tongue in that water, friend.
But I'm telling you, one dip of the tongue in the water of life, woo! What a change it'll make for you for all time and eternity. Hallelujah to God. It'll wipe away all your sins, cleanse your soul, birth you into the family of God, and prepare you for heaven.
Yes, sir. Now hang right with me. I see in these things, those sure testimonies, he declared him, they're declared in simplicity. He said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. They're just declared in simplicity. Amen. They're simple. Paul said, I just told you the simple story of Jesus and his love. That's right. And I'm telling you, like I said before, so many folks today are looking for something else. They're looking for something that touches their intellect, that makes the preacher look wise. Oh, he's such a wise man. Did you hear what he said? Well, tell me, what did you get out of what he said? Amen. Well, he said a lot of good things. Well, what? Well, I didn't understand all of them. That's the point I'm making.
Amen.
Paul declared the testimonies of God in simplicity, not with excellency of speech, but simplicity. In other words, he put the candy bar on the bottom shelf where everybody could get a hold of it. Young, old, children and all could get a hold of it and realize that Christ died for them. Simplicity. He declared it in simplicity. Then I will say also, he declared it in sincerity. He said, not in wisdom. He said, I didn't come to you in excellency of speech and wisdom. He said, but I just come to you in sincerity.
Amen.
I was very sincere in what I said. I'm going to tell you, I don't see much preaching today where people are really, men of God are really sincere about what they're trying to tell people. Most of, and I hate to say this, but most of them is trying, they're doing their best, and I'll say this again in a minute. They're doing more to promote themselves than they are Christ.
Amen.
And rather than shoot at people's heart, they're shooting at their intellect.
Right.
Paul said, I come and declare the testimonies of God in a civil way. And I was sincere when I told you. You know why I was sincere? He said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ that you might be saved. I'd be willing, Paul said, to go to hell if you would get saved.
Amen.
Pretty sincere man, wasn't he?
Yes, amen.
Better believe he was.
Amen.
Now hang right with me. What kind of a preaching will a faith stand in, one that is received by a declaration of God's testimony. And secondly, it'll stand when the preacher is determined to preach Christ rather than promote his own knowledge. Notice what he said there in verses 2 and 3. For I determined not to know anything among you. Say, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But here's what gets me out of that. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. Now, if you can just get a hold of that little statement, that's just a little bitty word for I determined. And what that tells me is that Paul knew more than what he told them. Oh, Paul knew a great deal more than he told. But he said, I determined that I was not going to come and preach to you something that you could not understand. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, people don't need to hear new things today. Oh, we're trying every new way that we can to get people into church and try to make believe that they're getting saved. But I'm telling you, there's only one way. It's through the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, ladies and gentlemen. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always been one way. There's still one way. And there will forever just be one way that a man can get saved. Paul said, I knew a great deal more than I told you. He said, but I determined before I got there that I was going to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you get, Paul said, I'm not preaching on nothing except the cross.
Amen.
I remember years ago when some of you heard me say this. Dr. Sotler went and preached a meeting for a preacher, a young preacher. He said on the last night of that meeting, he said that young preacher got up and said, ladies and gentlemen, said for the next 52 weeks, I'm going to preach every Sunday morning on the home and the family. Now, I'll never forget Dr. Sotler. He looked down over them glasses at us that morning when he was preaching, and he said, that may sound good to a young man, but he said, I don't think I'd want to stay away from the cross 52 weeks. I don't think I would either. I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what the preaching of the cross does. It charges me up, boy. And I realize I ought to have been crucified, Miss Patty. I ought to have died on that cross. But thank God, like Barabbas, he took my place. Hallelujah. I should have been crucified. Hey, he died in my place, in your place, on Calvary that day, and died for us and as us, that we might be saved with the grace of God. And Paul said, I just determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. Now, I guarantee you, Paul knew a whole lot more than that. He was a very wise man in the Scriptures. Paul didn't come in there and say, well, I want to preach something deep to you today. Heard one fellow say that. Heard a preacher, honestly, preaching on our radio station. And he made a statement. He said, now, I just want everybody to know, I'm a deep preacher. I'm a deep preacher. And I thought, no, you got that spelt just a little wrong. You're not a deep preacher, you're a dumb preacher.
Amen.
Same fellow said he had to watch Madonna for 30 minutes to get mad enough that night to preach against sin. I don't have to watch Madonna to preach against sin.
Amen.
Sin, the wages of it is death. Why do you have to see Madonna to tell folks that unless their sins are under the blood, hey, that is death to them. They're going to hell without that.
Amen.
I don't have to watch Madonna to get mad at sin. I'm going to tell you what he had to do. He had to fulfill his lust.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Old Brother Paul said, I just determined not to know anything. Not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. And here's what He says. I was with you in weakness, Paul. I was with you in fear, Paul. I was with you in trembling, Paul. Preaching the simplicity of the gospel. Why in all heaven's name would he be weak? I mean, why would he come weak? And why would he have fear? And why would he have trembling? Huh? He said, when I got there, I was weak. And that's in reference to a moral or a physical malady. Paul said, when I got there, he said, I wasn't nothing great. I had a malady. I had a physical malady in my life. Some of them even said that when his speech is contemptible and his sight is unseemly. But they also learned that those words that he spoke, woo, buddy, they were full of the power of God, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, he might have been a wee little man. Somebody said he had glasses and couldn't see him, was nearly blind, and said he was just a wee little old man, and his sight was just absolutely, just an unsightly thing to look at. But I'm telling you, he preached in the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and declared the testimonies of God to a lost and dying. He did not preach Paul. He preached Christ, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't try to promote himself. What was there to promote? What did I have to promote? I don't know how y'all put up with me almost 24 years. I'm serious. Praise God, I'm telling you. Who said amen to that? Then he said, fear. He said, I was afraid. I came to a place where I was fright.
Amen.
I was frightened and afraid. Of what? I don't know of what. Maybe Paul was in fear and in trembling. Maybe he was in these three things simply because the weight of the gospel was upon him. The weight of telling the story of Christ was on him. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want one of you to walk out of here this morning without God in your life. I don't want nobody to leave here today lost and without God. And I don't want anybody to leave here today that doesn't have some degree of victory in your Christian life. That's a weight that is on every man. No wonder Paul said I was in fear and trembling. Hey, because I had the weight of your sins upon me. Your life was upon me.
Amen.
And if it's not every pastor and every preacher, he's not worth his salt.
Amen.
The weight of whether you do wrong or whether you do right hangs on your pastor, whether you know it or not. Can I say this to you? And you listen carefully to what I'm saying. There's people that can't understand why somebody else say no, just don't do right. May I say to you, that's the same way with a man of God? Or why people that have children don't make their children do right? May I say to you, that's the same thing that's on a man of God?
Amen.
That I worry and wonder why I try to tell you to do right, hey, and yet some of you will and some of you won't.
Amen.
Same problem.
Right.
Same scenario, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Paul said, I've got that burden and that weight on me, and I'm here in fear and trembling. He said, I realize that what I'm telling you come from God, and God will hold me accountable for everything I tell you. And He will. And God will hold me accountable for everything I tell you. Now I want to make sure that I never fail to tell you about the cross.
Amen.
About the blood and about the blessed hope that we have in Jesus. I never want to fail to tell you that story. Paul didn't promote himself, but he promoted Christ. And that faith, when you put Christ in it, it'll stand. Then, when there's a divine revelation of the Spirit, look in verse 4. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and of power." Oh, hey, a divine revelation. Just like Lydia in Acts 16, when God opened her heart. God opened her heart. And she got a divine revelation of Christ. Just like that blind man in John 9 had never seen Jesus before. But I'm telling you, he had a divine revelation. He saw Christ. Just like Paul on the road to Damascus, God opened up. God blinded him. God blinded him that he might see. God blinded him. Now, come on now. God blinded him that he might see. Somebody said, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I know what Jesus told the Pharisees one day. He said, because you say you see, you're still blind. A lot of people think they see and know everything. I'm going to tell you, when they do, they're blind. Just mark her down, buddy. Amen. Now, that divine revelation, that word demonstration of the Spirit simply means a manifestation. A manifestation. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Paul said, I preach to you in such a way that the Spirit of God manifests Christ before you. Come on now. Somebody help me. Don't die. I'll be done in a minute. He said, it was not with enticing words. Not with persuasive words. I didn't try to persuade you. I'm going to tell you, I've seen them give them all from candy bars and everything else to get little kids down to make a profession of faith. I've seen him get on top. Hey, said this one woman went to church one night. She was a sinner. And said she walked and went to the altar during the invitation. Said about 10 folks got on one side of her and 10 on the other. And on one side they was hollering, turn loose! And on the other side they was hanging, hang on! Turn loose! Hang on! Turn loose! That poor woman didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to turn loose or to hang on. Paul said, hey, said, that ain't the way I come preaching to you. He said, I preached in such a way that I manifested. I preached to you in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Said, I had a little God on me.
Amen.
I didn't have to talk about me. Hey, any preacher that'll talk about Jesus, he'll have a little God on him. The more you brag on Christ, the more God you're going to have. Amen. That's right. Thank God. And I'd rather have that than all the wisdom and intellect the world has. Give me Christ on me and let me preach with the power of God. Let me turn me loose. That's right. Turn me loose. Praise God. One more time. Amen. I preached Wednesday night and got home. My blood pressure was so low it wouldn't even register on the cuff. I said, Lord. First time it registered. It was 52 over 41. I said, boys, that's pretty low. Miss Hall said, what are you going to do? I said, preach. Amen. Said, well, said, let it kill you. I said, what a way to go. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything else to do. Amen. I realize there's a problem. And I may have to sit down any minute now, but I'm just telling you, I don't know anything else to do. I'd like to sit in this stool. How would I look sitting up here? Praise God! Amen! 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 He didn't come with excellency of speech. Not for trying to persuade men. What good is man's persuasion? It takes the Holy Ghost conviction, not man's persuasion, ladies and gentlemen. Amen, that's right. I don't know whether I can handle that or not, but I think I might be able to. Now, his communication with Christ, this manifestation, within it was a communication of Christ. Notice what he said. And my speech and my preaching. Amen. Speech and preaching. And then that word speech simply means the thought. It means the discourse itself. In other words, he said, in my discourse, in my discourse, I communicated to you Christ. That's it. But in my preaching, I preach to you the cross that Christ died upon. Hallelujah. And there's a little bit of difference there, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-mm. Boy, if we can communicate the gospel, we can just communicate the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now, I'm about ready to close. Just stay with me for another minute. Just preaching the cross and preaching the gospel. Then the faith. He said in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, and that's the whole thing he's getting to from chapter 1. He's talking about the wisdom of man, wisdom of men, wisdom of men, wisdom of men, wisdom of men. And here he said that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now I'm going to tell you what it'll do. If your faith stands in the power of God, it'll bring you through temptations. You'll be like Joseph. You'll run from sin as fast as you can. I'll guarantee you it will. That's right. That kind of faith will make you stand, folks, not fall. That's exactly right. Amen. It'll also not only see you through temptations, but it'll see you through trials. The Lord told Peter, said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But what? But I pray for you that your faith might not fail. Well, because his faith was in the power of God and not in the wisdom of a man. Whoa, when old John the Baptist come preaching to Brother Peter, Peter listened to it, and one day in John 1:29, he said, Peter, all of you, come here. Behold, there he is, the Lamb of God, hath taken away the sin of the world. Now I'm going to tell you, they run after him like a child would run after a stick of candy. Amen. He'll get you through your temptations and your trials. I'll tell you, he'll also get you through your troubles. Old Job said, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I'm going to tell you, his faith got him through it, didn't it? He came out on the other end twice blessed. Hey, he must have been a Nazarene.
twice blessed. Twice of everything that he had, except his children. The ones he already had was in heaven. And he had that many more again.
Amen.
So God blessed him twice over. Amen. With everything. Cattle, children, everything. Or everything. God blessed him twice over with everything but one thing. Can somebody tell me what that one thing was? His wife!
Amen.
God didn't give him another one. Uno! Just one, folks. Just one. What about your faith this morning? You got a faith that'll stand? You got a faith that'll stand this morning? In the power of God. Not in the wisdom of man. Not under the persuasive power of men and their ability to speak. But in their ability to preach the gospel with power. How about it? Stand together.